that. John chapter 3, a blessed passage. Most of us know John chapter 3 quite well because it talks about salvation through Jesus Christ, eternal life, and so forth. But there's part of the chapter that we don't talk as much about, and that's where John the Baptist explains about his person and why he came and so forth. And we can learn a lot from what he had to say here in John chapter 3. But before we do that, just remind you tonight, Jeremiah chapter 29, as we go through Jeremiah 2, definitely two of the most beautiful verses in Jeremiah, but probably two of the most beautiful verses in the Old Testament tonight, verses 11 and 13. You'll want to be here for that. The title of the message is An Expected End. So you already know the verse I'm talking about, if that's one of your memory verses. Wednesday at 7, we continue through Hebrews chapter 12, the chastening of the Lord. So if you've ever wondered what the Bible teaches about God's chastisement of His children, we'll be talking about that Wednesday night at 7. And then remember, you sign up by next Sunday. So get those applications in by next Sunday so we get a count and we can start organizing the youth camp. So John chapter 3, beginning in verse 22, the Bible says, "After these things came Jesus and His disciples into the land of Judea, and there He tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." So our focus is verse 31, but we're going to walk through the passage. He must increase, but I must decrease. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, the power of it, Lord. And we pray the Holy Ghost would use it in our hearts this morning to teach and to grow us in Christ. Lord, I pray we would leave this place this morning changed. And I pray that we would open our hearts now to hear from you and allow you to do a work in our lives, Lord. May you be glorified and lifted up in all that's said and done now. We love you and praise you and pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen. So as you can see, some of the disciples, some of those that had been baptized of John and had been listening to John's preaching were getting a bit confused, because now they heard that Jesus is preaching and that Jesus is baptizing, and they thought, well, are there two different movements going on here, or what exactly is happening? And that's where John had an opportunity to explain that no, he was just the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus, it's all about Jesus Christ. Now, we see there that the reason why John was baptizing in this particular place, which I've always loved this verse for those who believe in sprinkling, is it says because there was much water there. If you're going to baptize by sprinkling, you don't need much water. You just need one cup. But you got to have a bit of water if you're going to dunk people. Amen? And I think the Bible is very clear that baptism is to be by immersion. It's kind of a separate little rabbit trail there. But the Bible's clear because it represents the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we baptize by immersion. But John was baptizing in this particular place. And the Bible says in verse 26 that they came unto John and said to him, Rabbi, that was the Jewish word for master, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. So here we have John's disciples coming to John, as it says in verse 25, and they were not understanding. It was almost like they were jealous on behalf of John, saying, well, John, we've been following you, we've been listening to your preaching, we've been baptized by you, and now this one that's in this other place is baptizing. So why is this? Verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. John only had what he had because God gave it to him. Now, John was a very special person. The Bible says Jesus himself said, of all men, there's none greater than John the Baptist. That's a pretty amazing compliment to come from God himself. And John was, if you go to Isaiah chapter 40, John was the fulfillment of the prophesied forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah 40 is where that one of those prophecies that was given of John. Notice verse 3 of Isaiah 40. It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." So here we see that John the Baptist would be one who would prepare the way of the Lord. And this verse is then quoted in Matthew chapter 3, where the Bible teaches John the Baptist is a fulfillment of this prophecy. And by the way, that word Lord there is in all caps, which means that the Hebrew behind that word is the word Jehovah, which meant John the Baptist came to prepare the way for Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the forerunner. He came to introduce the ministry of Jesus Christ and Christ himself. If you remember, John is the one that baptized Christ. And so the disciples, they're confused. And they're asking John. And he said, "Everything that I have, God gave me." And if you go back to our passage, verse 28, he says, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. I am not the prophesied one of the Old Testament. I'm only his forerunner. I'm only his messenger. I was just sent to prepare the way," which is what he did. He came to lay the groundwork for the ministry of Jesus Christ. But he says, "I am not the Christ." He had no ifs, ands, or buts about it. "I am not the one." Go back to John 1, if you would, and verse 27. Where again, as John began his ministry, notice what he said, verse 27, "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes lacet I am not worthy to unloose." So as he introduced Christ, and on down in verse 29, the Bible says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He said, "I'm not even worthy to untie his shoe." That was John's attitude. That's a good attitude when it comes to Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm not even worthy to untie my Savior's shoe." And that was the attitude that he had all throughout his ministry. "I'm only here to introduce Christ. I am not the Christ. I'm basically nothing without God," is what he's trying to say. So back to our passage, John 3, verse 29. "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." So John is saying, "I'm just a friend of the bridegroom, just like you." That Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. I'm just a friend. And by the way, if you're born again this morning, you're the bride. Amen? That's a whole other study. But you can't have a bridegroom without a bride. And that is the church, of course. Then this famous verse, verse 30. If you want another memory verse, put this one in your packet. "He must increase, but I must decrease." Now, it's a short little verse, but look what he's saying. And by the way, if you study it out, it's not long after this that he was put into prison and then beheaded. John the Baptist had a very short ministry. He came to introduce Christ, and then God took him to glory. Now, I'm sure we'll understand when we get to heaven why that was. Maybe part of it was that God didn't want there to be any confusion about who was supposed to be the one, the answered one, the Messiah, the prophesied one, Jesus Christ. And once John was executed, then there was no more confusion in the minds of his disciples about whether or not Jesus Christ was the one. But he must increase. I believe that one of the measures of spiritual maturity is how much we lift up Jesus and not ourselves. We all have this problem called pride. We inherited it from our parents, Adam and Eve. It was the downfall of the devil. And it's a problem. It never goes away. It always tries to rear its ugly head. And John the Baptist understood I am only here because of God. Everything I have came from God, and I'm only here to glorify God. Therefore, He is the one that must increase. Jesus' ministry is just getting started. And John says, this is all about Jesus. His ministry must increase. His influence must increase. It must be about Him. I am here to glorify and to lift up Him. If you go to John chapter 12, Jesus Christ explained that the day would come when Jesus Christ truly would be lifted up. He's prophesying about Calvary and being nailed to the cross. And in John 12:32, He says that I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto Me. All men should be drawn to Jesus, not John the Baptist and not anyone else. Amen? Not Joseph Smith, not Charles Taze Russell. We could go on and on. Jesus and only Jesus. And John understood this, that it's all about lifting up Jesus. Listen, that's why we're here. If you had to boil it all down, what does the Bible say? But glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. We're here to lift Him up. He must increase. We're here to increase His influence on this earth by witnessing and telling the gospel to the lost, by singing praises unto Him, by glorifying Him. We're here to increase Christ's ministry as much as we can. We're just the messenger. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Go to Romans chapter 14, verse 11. And just make sure we get a handle on this. That you and I are here. We're left here after we're saved that He might increase. That more people might hear about Him. That He might be glorified. That He might be lifted up and praised. Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to Me, and every tongue shall confess to God. There will come a day when every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, the time to bow the knee to Jesus Christ is on this earth. So that when that day comes, we will voluntarily fall on our faces and praise the One that saved us from hell. Because those who bow the knee at the judgment, it'll be too late. Now, they'll still bow the knee, but that doesn't mean they're going to heaven. It means they're acknowledging the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We are here to lift Him up. Every knee shall bow. God says the same in Philippians chapter 2. Go to Colossians chapter 1, if you would, verse 18, where again, it's all about Jesus. Our salvation is not in a creed, it is in a person. Amen? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We are going to heaven because of Jesus, and because we have Jesus. We've trusted Him, and He has now indwelt us in the person of the Holy Ghost. He's given us His eternal life. He's given us His seal, and says He's going to come back and take us to glory one day in John 14 and other places. Colossians 1:18, look what the Bible tells us. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Look at this next phrase. That in all things, He might have the preeminence. How many things? All things. In all things, Jesus Christ is worthy of the preeminence. That doesn't leave room for anything else to get preeminence, does it? Jesus is worthy of all of it. You know, you've heard me mention it before, but open up the hymn book sometime and try to find a hymn that doesn't talk about Jesus. But that's a good thing, because He is worthy of all the preeminence. So the flip side of that, go back to our passage in John 3. The only way that it can all be about Christ, and the only way that we can lift Him up exclusively and wholly in our lives, is if the opposite takes place, and that is that we don't lift up ourselves. Which, again, the temptation's always there. You know, John the Baptist could have said, well, yeah, I'm the only one. I'm the only forerunner. I'm the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40 and passages in Malachi and others. I am the one that was sent of God. And by the way, in the flesh, I'm even His cousin. But He didn't say any of those things, did He? He said, everything I have came from God, and I'm only here to lift him up and to push myself out of the way and to make sure I don't get any glory because I'm not worthy of any of it. Only God is worthy of the glory. And that's what it means when he said, I must decrease. The longer we're saved, this should be our goal. To just keep pushing myself in the background and keep pushing Jesus out there as the one that's worthy of all the preeminence. Everything that we do for Christ, every ministry that we're involved in, that needs to be our focus. Push me in the background, push Jesus in the forefront. He must increase, I must decrease. Matthew 16, please, where Jesus Christ explains that we are not here for self, we are here for him. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Notice he says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It's not about self. And take up his cross. What's the purpose of a cross? To crucify. Paul said, I die daily. I'm crucified with Christ. That old man's dead. God says he's dead. He's not allowed any glory. He's not allowed any preeminence anymore. He's been crucified. Take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. We're here to lose our lives for Jesus. Now maybe literally, and that happens still around the world. We don't hear about it on the news. Christians die every week. Every week. Look it up. But it's not going to make national news. And that's not all Jesus is saying, though. Every day, we are to lose our life for his sake. In other words, give ourselves to him. The Bible talks about yielding ourselves in it. The Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit. Those things can't happen. We can't be filled with the Spirit unless we're emptied of self. So what Jesus is saying is it needs to be all about him. We need to give our lives to him. We're here for him. Now, most of us know Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's turn there. But I want you to look at verse 3. So we most of us know, again, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of the God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Soberly, seriously. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Let's look at it from God's perspective. Read the scriptures that teach about how wicked we really are. The Bible says we're just dirt. It does say that in Psalm 103. He remembereth that we are dust. He's the one that made us out of the dust. But he gave us a soul. But it's he that did it. Amen? And we're only here because of him. And we're only saved because of him. And so what God is saying is we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Sometimes after we've been saved a while, if we're not careful, we might start thinking, well, I'm a pretty good Christian. If you ever think that, you're in trouble. Our attitude always needs to be, God has some more work to do in my life. Amen? Always. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know, the Bible says. And as it says here, not to think more highly than you ought to think. So back to this crucifixion. Go to Galatians chapter 2, which I partly quoted a minute ago. I want you to see how Paul explained this. Notice he says, verse 20, again, a verse many of you know. It says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But look at these next three words. Yet not I. What is he saying? He's saying, yes, I'm alive. Physically, but now it's not me anymore. Yet not I, but Christ which liveth in me. That's what he meant in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says, I die daily. He says, yet not I. It's not about me now. I have a new life. Jesus has saved me. I'm one of his children. He lives in me. I'm yielded to him. I'm filled with him. My life is about him. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My life is about Jesus now. My life is not about self anymore. And then one other verse over in Galatians chapter 6. If you would turn over there. Verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that we as Christians can glory in. We can't glory in our accomplishments, because if we had accomplished anything for the cause of Christ, God did it through us. He gave us the ability. He gave us the power. And if it wasn't for the cause of Christ, if it was for our own selfish motives, it's totally useless. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. It was through the cross that we were born again. It was through the cross that God allowed us access to heaven. It's through the cross that we were allowed the power through the Holy Spirit. Save in the cross. By whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. So John was just in that tiny little sentence said so much. He must increase. It's all about lifting him up. It's all about promoting his ministry. It's all about telling as many people as I can about Christ so that his influence on the earth is as big as I can make it. And I must decrease. It's not about me. I'm not here to promote self. I'm not here to lift up self. I'm here to lift up him. And as Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And then in verse 31 of our passage, he finishes by saying, he that cometh from above is above all. That's Jesus. He's above all. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Because only he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's above all. And he's to be above all in our walk and in our demeanor, everything. He's to be above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. So he's talking about himself again. I'm just a piece of dirt that God saved. And speaketh of the earth, but he that cometh from heaven, there he says it again, is above all. Above all. John didn't come from heaven. Jesus did. And he that came from heaven is above all. So we are here. Go to Psalm 40. We are here to lift him up, that he might increase. Psalm 40, verse 10. I want you to see what even David understood. This is Old Testament, but even David understood that it's about God and his righteousness, not about us. Notice Psalm 40, verse 10. I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. So David said, I'm here to declare the greatness of God. That he's faithful, that he has salvation, that he's loving, that he is true. I'm here to lift him up. And if you've ever read the Psalms, you know David did just that, didn't he? He lifted up the Lord. That is why we're here. We're here to lift up the Lord. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, we sang it 2 weeks ago, do what? All to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to his glory. Because we are here for him. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we'll finish here. This morning, 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Bible teaches that we are just ambassadors. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Every time that we witness to a lost person, we are doing it in Christ's stead. Christ is witnessing to that person. We're just the vessel. We're just the ambassadors. And ambassadors come and go, do they not? A master is just a messenger from one leader to another and to others. We're just his ambassadors to tell about our Savior, our King, our Lord. He must increase, I must decrease. If we could make that our mission, we'll be right. Lord, today may I lift you up and push self in the back. And if that's our attitude, we'll go far for Christ. But after we go far for Christ, then the devil's going to say, look what you did for Christ. And pride's going to creep up again. And that's when you got to stop and say, yes, but it was all in God's power. And if it wasn't for God, none of it would have happened. And just give it back to God's glory. Give it back to Christ. Only he is worthy of the preeminence. All of it. He must increase, and I must decrease. Let's pray. Thank